Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Was Joseph Smith a braggart? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we're going to be looking at an article that was actually in the Deseret News. It was titled, Defending the Faith, Joseph Smith Wasn't Arrogant or Boastful. It was uploaded on September 4th, 2014, and it is written by Dr. Daniel Peterson. Dr. Daniel Peterson is a professor at Brigham Young University, though his expertise is not in Mormon history, it's actually in Arabic studies. But Dan Peterson has been known to be, well, in the eyes of many Latter-day Saints, one of their top-notch apologists. In fact, Eric, you and I have an LDS acquaintance that has actually referred to Daniel Peterson as the top dog when it comes to Mormon apologetics. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you up front, folks. I'm not real impressed with the way Daniel Peterson defends Joseph Smith in this particular article. And I don't think it's quite the caliber that he is known for. But we're going to go through some of his arguments and try to answer this question, whether or not Joseph Smith was an arrogant or boastful man, or was he, as Dr. Peterson implies, a very humble man? Let's go through this article point by point, and then we'll make our observations.
Peterson writes, "Some critics like to use a quotation attributed to Joseph Smith as a weapon against him." And then he quotes from History of the Church, Volume 6, pages 408 and 409, which says, "I have more to boast of," he's reported to have said, "than ever any man had. I am the only man that has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus ever did it. I boast that no man ever did such work as I. The followers of Jesus ran away from him, but the Latter-day Saints never ran away from me yet." End quote. The comment seems arrogant, lacking the humility appropriate to a prophet or even an ordinary member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And I think you and I would agree with that last statement you made. That is in the words of Dr. Daniel Peterson. The comment seems arrogant, lacking the humility appropriate to a prophet or even an ordinary member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It most certainly does. But he's going to make some points to try and defend that statement. So what does he go on to say?
He says, "But at least four points should be remembered when evaluating it. Much of what follows is taken from a personal message I wrote that became the basis of a Fair Mormon Wiki post on the subject."
And that's true. You can also find, in fact, I noticed as I was reading this article that some of it looked kind of familiar. It was actually something that I had also read. And on the FAIR site, now the FAIR site, Foundation for Apologetics Information and Research, it's a Mormon apologetic group. But he makes a lot of these points in that article that you can find on the FAIR website as well. But first of all, let's look at the statement. "I have more to boast of," and this is what Daniel Peterson says, he's reported to have said, "than ever any man had. I am the only man who has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus ever did it. I boast that no man ever did a work such as I. The followers of Jesus ran away from him, but the Latter-day Saints never ran away from me yet." Now, first of all, this isn't even historically true. At the time Joseph Smith said this, according to the history of the church, this was about a month before he was to be killed at Carthage Jail. In the last several months of Joseph Smith's life, he was having a very difficult time with dissension within the ranks. In fact, seven of his very close friends, confidants, if you will, at least faithful followers, got together to publish the Nauvoo Expositor, which led to Joseph Smith's death. There were a lot of people that were running away from Joseph Smith at this time. So for him to make it appear that he did something better than Jesus when it comes to keeping his church together is not really even accurate.
Well, think about it. I mean, the followers of Jesus ran away from him. I'm thinking of maybe Peter and maybe the disciples for a few days, of course. There was a struggle, but it seemed right after we have Easter morning, it seems like the disciples are on target, and they were very faithful if you read the book of Acts.
Now, I think it's important, however, because as Dr. Peterson goes on to say, he says, first, the context. Joseph was applying a passage from the Apostle Paul, and he refers to 2 Corinthians 11:12, to his own perilous situation. The idea of quote-unquote boasting, Dr. Peterson says, wasn't Joseph's. It was Paul.
Well, and if you go to 2 Corinthians 11, and Paul is making a point here. He starts off chapter 11 by saying, I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. He calls it foolishness, and he says, yes, please put up with me, as in a sarcastic kind of way. And he says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, and goes on and talks about being the least inferior to those super apostles. And he says, wait a minute here. Look at my credentials. He's doing this because he's making a defense against those who were saying things that were plain wrong.
Paul, it seems like, always seemed to struggle with those in at least the Corinthians church that challenged his authority and challenged his apostleship. What Paul was doing, if we want to look at context, is he is actually responding in a way that I'm sure was taken by many who knew Paul to be very unusual. Paul wasn't known for this. Now, Dr. Peterson's going to give the impression that Joseph Smith also wasn't known for this, that this was really out of character. And this is why he's trying to make it sound that Joseph Smith is trying to emulate what Paul was doing in 2 Corinthians. But if we look more carefully at some of the things that Joseph Smith said during his life, that's not really how it was.
Well, then he goes on in a second point, and he says Joseph seems actually to be praising his followers' faithfulness, not himself.
And that I really take issue with because, again, as Dr. Peterson says, context is important. Let's look at what Joseph Smith said up until the portion that Dr. Peterson cites in his article. This is what Joseph Smith said.
And this is History of the Church, Volume 6, pages 408 and 409. Let's read the paragraph right before the quote that he gave in this article. According to Joseph Smith in his sermon, as Paul boasted, I have suffered more than Paul did. I should be like a fish out of water if I were out of persecutions. Perhaps my brethren think it requires all this to keep me humble. The Lord has constituted me so curiously that I glory in persecution. I am not nearly so humble as if I were not persecuted. If oppression will make a wise man mad, much more a fool. If they want a beardless boy to whip all over the world, I will get on top of a mountain and crow like a rooster. I shall always beat them. I'm going to stop there, Bill, for a second. That almost sounds like trash talking you would see on a basketball court or in a football game.
Two boxers, looking at each other and making frowning faces at each other.
When facts are proved, truth and innocence will prevail at last. My enemies are no philosophers. They think that they will have my spoke under. They will keep me down. But for the fools, I will hold on and fly over them. God is in the still small voice. In all these affidavits, indictments, it is all of the devil, all corruption. Come on, ye persecutors, ye false swears, all hell boil over. Ye burning mountains, roll down your lava, for I will come out on the top at last.
Now, Dr. Peterson says that Joseph seems actually to be praising his followers' faithfulness.
I didn't count all the I's, but it has to be at least a dozen I's throughout that. I never hear of a they at all.
I didn't either, and so I would have a difficult time accepting that type of a conclusion regarding the statement that you just made. But notice, he starts off with this comment actually saying that he is above Paul when it comes to persecutions. Really, folks, are we going to really believe? Now, it's not to say that Joseph Smith, certainly Joseph Smith had some very difficult times. I mean, he was, one time at least we know, tarred and feathered. He certainly went through a lot of physical abuse. There's no doubt about that. But are we going to really believe, based on what we read in Paul's own accounts about the sufferings that he went through, that somehow Joseph Smith even suffered more than Paul? I'm just having a real difficult time with this. Now, the way he says it, though, because I think Joseph Smith could have easily said what he went through in a more documentary type of way, but notice the way he expresses himself. He's going to crow like a rooster. He's going to whip them all or beat them all. This does not sound like a humble rendition of what he's gone through. And certainly it doesn't even match, in my opinion, the way Paul explains what he went through during his lifetime for the cause of the gospel of Christ.
Now remember, according to Peterson, Joseph seems actually to be praising his followers' faithfulness, not himself. Let me read the following part of this, and let's see if that works. It says, "You know my daily walk and conversation. I am the bosom of a virtuous and good people. How I do love to hear the wolves howl. When they can get rid of me, the devil will also go."
Wow. So when they get rid of Joseph Smith, the devil's going to also go. Do you ever recall the Apostle Paul making some kind of a statement like that?
No.
I certainly don't.
Not at all. "For the last 3 years, I have a record of all my acts and proceedings, for I have kept several good, faithful, and efficient clerks in constant employ. They have accompanied me everywhere and carefully kept my history, and they have written down what I have done, where I have been, and what I have said. Therefore, my enemies cannot charge me with any day, time, or place, but what I have written testimony to prove my actions, and my enemies cannot prove anything against me. They have got wonderful things in the land of Ham. I think the grand jury have strained at a gnat and swallowed the camel." Once more, Bill, we don't see the word they. I don't buy the second point that he seems to be praising his followers' faithfulness. He's praising his own faithfulness.
Clearly, the great majority of what he is saying in that statement, and we have now cited it all.
Paragraph before and after. Keep reading and show us where we're missing this.
So when we read the whole statement in its proper context, we really don't see the conclusion that Dr. Peterson at least has drawn personally for himself. It sounds very clear that Joseph Smith is bragging on himself and that he is at least trying to give the impression that he has suffered more than Paul. He's been able to keep a church together, and not even Jesus was able to do that, which that basically calls Jesus a liar, because we are given the impression that he would be with his church through the end of the age.
Can we trust this account in the history of the church, Bill?
That's a great question. And tomorrow we're going to go on in this article and we're going to see that Dr. Peterson, even though he defends the statement, is now going to give the impression that maybe the statement itself is not trustworthy.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publishers' new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormons' Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.